play out one of those melodramatic scenes where the hero confronts the scheming villain. Unfortunately, things weren't quite going according to script. It was the story of his life. His arms burned with fatigue and the pain of the wound von Hallstatt had inflicted. He jerked his head quickly to one side to shake off the blood running down his forehead, a risky move against a swordsman as skilled as his opponent. Red droplets splattered onto the desktop. Felix was relieved that von Hallstatt hadn't been quite swift enough to take advantage of the opening. His breathing was coming swift and laboured. It sounded like a bellows. Pain interfered with the smooth flow of his movements. Von Hallstatt's long blade seemed to be everywhere. It was the sword that made the difference. Felix believed that had the blades been of equal length, he would just have been the nobleman's superior. But they were not, and it was killing him.
"Hurry, hurry!"
Thankwell ordered Bone Ripper, as they ran towards the bottom of the stairs. The fight above was still going on, but now that he had decided to save his pawn, he didn't want to take the chance of fate intervening. An accident at this stage would be most annoying. Bone Ripper let out a little moan and stopped so suddenly that Thankwell ran into the solid wall of his back and bounced. The pain in his snout was considerable. The Grey Seer glanced around his pet. He saw why Bone Ripper had halted. A dwarf stood there, blocking the way to the stairs. He was massive, and his fur was strangely crested. In one hand, he held an enormous battle axe. He, too, looked as if he had been racing to get up the steps and intervene in the ongoing fight. He, too, looked astonished to discover there was another in the house.
"There are bloody palaces," he grumbled. "You never know who you'll meet in them."
"Die, die, foolish dwarf thing,"
chittered Thankwell.
Bone
Ripper surged forward, claws extended. He loomed up over the dwarf, a terrifying demonic apparition, a living tribute to the fearsome imaginings of the sorcerer scientists of Clan Mulder. It would not have surprised Thankwell if the dwarf too was paralysed with fear by the very sight of him, as the others had been.
"Chew on this," the dwarf said.
Brains splattered everywhere as the axe clove Bone Ripper's head in two. Thankwell found himself confronting an irate troll slayer. The musk of fear sprayed as he reached into his pouch for a weapon. Then, deciding discretion was the better part of valour, he turned and scuttled off. To his relief, the dwarf did not follow, but raced up the staircase. Thankwell headed for the sewers, swearing that if it took him a lifetime, he'd make that dwarf pay. Both men heard the noise from below. It sounded like an immense tree had crashed to the ground. Felix saw von Hallstatt's eyes flicker to the window. He knew this would be his only chance. Throwing caution to the wind, he dived straight at the nobleman, all defences down. Momentarily, he expected to feel von Hallstatt's blade bite into his chest. The split second of distraction proved almost enough. Too late, his opponent tried to bring his blade around. Felix was already within the sweep. It bit into his side as his own short sword tore up through von Hallstatt's stomach, under his ribs and into the heart. With a gurgle, the chief magistrate died. Agony seared Felix's brain, and he fell.
"Wake up, Manling. This is no time to be lying around."
Felix felt water splash over his face. He coughed and spluttered and shook his head.
"What the—"
"We'd better get out of here before the White Wolves arrive."
"Leave me alone."
Felix just wanted to lie there.
"You go and fight them. You always wanted to die heroically."
Gotrek shuffled his feet and looked embarrassed.
"I can't, Manling. I'm a slayer. I'm supposed to die honourably. If we're caught now, folk might think we were committing a burglary."
"So?"
"Theft brings disgrace. I'm trying to atone for my disgrace."
"I can imagine some worse crimes, like drowning a dying man, for instance."
"You are not dying, Manling. That's barely a scratch."
"Well, if we must."
Felix pulled himself to his feet. He looked around at the files. It occurred to him that the information here would be worth a fortune to the right person. Even a small selection of what was here would be invaluable. The possibilities for blackmail and extortion were endless. He looked at the slayer and remembered what he had said of theft. Gotrek wouldn't condone him taking the papers. Even if he would, Felix decided he could not take them. It was corrupt, the life work of a maniac like von Hallstatt. Contained in those papers were things that could ruin men's lives. There were too many secrets already in Nuln. These represented too much power to fall into anybody's hands. He took the lanterns and poured their oil over the filing cases. Then he set them alight. Running downstairs with the smell of burning paper filling his nostrils, Felix felt oddly free. He realized that he would not be going to work with Otto after all. And that pleased him tremendously. Chapter 2. Gutter Runners. Needless to say, we could not tell the authorities the whole truth of our encounter with the Skaven, for in doing so we would implicate ourselves in the murder of a high official of the court of the Countess Emmanuel. And murder, no matter how deserving the victim, is a capital crime. We were dismissed from service and forced to seek alternate employment. As luck would have it, during a drunken spree in one of the less salubrious quarters of the city, we happened upon a tavern, the owner of which had been a companion of the Slayers in his mercenary days. We were employed to eject undesirables from the bar, and believe me when I tell you that people had to be very undesirable indeed to warrant being thrown out of the Blind Pig. The work was hard, violent, and unrewarding, but at least I thought we were safe from the Skaven. Of course, as was so often the case, I was wrong, for it seemed that one of them, at least, had not forgotten us and was plotting revenge. From My Travels with Gotrek, Volume 3, by A Herr Felix Jaeger, Altdorf Press, 2505. Felix Jaeger ducked the drunken mercenary's punch. The brass-knuckled fist hurtled by his ear and hit the door jamb, sending splinters of wood flying. Felix jabbed forward with his knee, catching the mercenary in the groin. The man moaned in pain and bent over. Felix caught him around the neck and tugged him towards the swing doors. The drunk barely resisted. He was too busy throwing up stale wine. Felix booted the door open, then pushed the mercenary out, propelling him on his way with a hard kick to the backside. The mercenary rolled in the dirt of Commerce Street, clutching his groin, tears dribbling from his eyes, his mouth open in a rictus of pain. Felix rubbed his hands together ostentatiously before turning to go back into the bar. He was all too aware of the eyes watching him from beyond every pool of torchlight. At this time of night, Commerce Street was full of bravos, street girls, and hired muscle. Keeping up his reputation for toughness was plain common sense. It reduced his chances of taking a knife in the back when he wandered the streets at night. What a life, he thought. If anybody had told him a year ago that he would be working as a bouncer in the roughest bar in Nuln, he would have laughed at them. He would have said he was a scholar, a poet and a gentleman, not some barroom brawler. He would have almost preferred being back in the sewer watch to this. Things change, he told himself, pushing his way back into the crowded bar. Things certainly change. The stink of stale sweat and cheap perfume slapped him in the face. He squinted as his vision adjusted to the gloomy, lantern-lit interior of the Blind Pig. For a moment he was aware that all the eyes in the place were on him. He scowled, in what he hoped was a fearsome manner, glaring around in exactly the fashion Gotrek did. From behind the bar, Big Heinz, the tavern owner, gave a wink of approval for the way in which Felix had dealt with the drunk, then returned to working the pumps. Felix liked Heinz. He was grateful to him as well. The big man was a former comrade from Gotrek's mercenary days. He was the only man in Nuln who had offered them a job after they had been dishonourably discharged from the sewer watch. Now that was a new low, Felix thought. He and Gotrek were the only two warriors ever to be kicked out of the sewer watch in all its long and sordid history. In fact, they had been lucky to escape a stretch in the Iron Tower, Countess Emmanuel's infamous prison. Gotrek had called the watch captain a corrupt, incompetent, snotling fondler when the man had refused to take their report of Skaven in the sewers seriously. To make matters worse, the dwarf had broken the man's jaw when he had ordered the pair of them horsewhipped. Felix winced. He still had some half-faded bruises from the ensuing brawl. They had fought against half of the watch station before being bludgeoned unconscious. He remembered waking up in the squalid cell the morning after. It was just as well his brother Otto had got them out, wishing to hush up any possible scandal that might blacken the Jaeger family name. Otto had wanted the pair of them to leave town, but Gotrick insisted that they stay. He was not going to be run out of town like some common criminal, particularly not when a skaven wizard was still at large and doubtless plotting some terrible crime. The troll slayer sensed an opportunity to confront the forces of darkness in all their evil splendour, and he was not going to be robbed of his chance of a mighty death in battle against them. And, bound by his old oath, Felix had to remain with the dwarf and record that doom for posterity. Some mighty death, Felix thought sourly. He could see Gotrek now, huddled in a corner with a group of dwarfish warriors, waiting to start his shift. His enormous crest of dyed orange hair rose over the crowd, his hugely muscular figure hunched forward over the table. The dwarfs slugged back their beer from huge tankards, growling and tugging at their beards and muttering something in their harsh, flinty tongue. Doubtless they were remembering some old slight to their people, or working through the long list of the grudges they had to avenge. Or maybe they were just remembering the good old days, when beer was a copper piece of flagon, and men showed the elder races proper respect. Felix shook his head. Whatever the conversation was about, the troll slayer was thoroughly engrossed. He had not even noticed the fight. That in itself was unusual, for the dwarf lived to fight, as other folk lived to eat or sleep. Felix continued his circuit of the tavern, taking in every table with a casual sidelong glance. The long, low hall was packed. Every beer-stained table was crowded. On one, a semi-naked Estalian dancing girl whirled and pranced, while a group of drunken halberdiers threw silver and encouraged her to remove the rest of her clothes. Street girls led staggering soldiers to dark alcoves in the far wall. The commotion from the bar drowned out the gasps and moans and the clink of gold changing hands. One whole long table was taken up by a group of Kislevite horse archers, guards for some incoming caravan from the north. They roared out drinking songs concerning nothing but horses and women, and sometimes an obscene combination of both, while downing huge quantities of Heinz's home-distilled potato vodka. There was something about them that made Felix uneasy. The Kislevites were men apart, bred under a colder sun in a harsher land, born only to ride and fight. When one of them rose from the table to go to the privy, his rolling, bow-legged walk told Felix that here was a horseman born. The warrior kept his hand near his long-bladed knife, for at no time was a man more vulnerable than when standing outside in the dim moonlight, relieving himself of half a pint of potato vodka. Felix grimaced. Half of the thieves, bravos, and muscle boys in Nuln congregated in the Blind Pig. They came to mingle with newly arrived caravan guards and mercenaries. He knew more than half of them by name. Heinz had pointed them out to him on his first night here. At the corner table sat Murdo MacLachlan, the burglar king who claimed to be an exiled prince of Albion. He wore the tartan breeches and long moustaches of one of that distant, almost mythical island's hill warriors. His muscular arms were tattooed in wood-elf patterns. He sat surrounded by a bevy of adoring women, regaling them with tales of his beautiful mountainous homeland. Felix knew that Murdo's real name was Heinrich Schmidt, and he had never left Nuln in all his life. Two tall hook-nosed men of Araby, Tarik and Hakim, sat at their permanently reserved table. Gold rings glittered on their fingers. Gold earrings shone in their earlobes. Their black leather jerkins glistened in the torchlight. Long curved swords hung over the backs of their chairs. Every now and again, strangers, sometimes street urchins, sometimes nobles, would come in and take a seat. Haggling would start, money would change hands, and just as suddenly and mysteriously, the visitors would up and leave. A day later, someone would be found floating face down in the Reich. Rumour had it that the two were the best assassins in Nuln. Over by the roaring fire, at a table all by himself, sat Franz Beckenhoff, who some said was a necromancer, and who others claimed was a charlatan. No one had ever found the courage to sit next to the skull-faced man and ask, despite the fact that there were always seats free at his table. He sat there every night, with a leather-bound book in front of him, husbanding his single glass of wine. Old Heinz never asked him to move along either, even though he took up space that other, more free-spending customers might use. It never pays to upset a magician, was Heinz's motto. Here and there, as out of place as peacocks in a rookery, sat gilded, slumming nobles, their laughter loud and uneasy. They were easy to spot by their beautiful clothing and their firm, soft flesh. Upper-class fops out to see their city's dark underbelly. Their bodyguards, generally large, quiet, watchful men with well-used weapons, were there to see that their masters came to no harm during their nocturnal adventures. As Heinz always said, no sense in antagonizing the nobs. They could have his tavern shut and his staff inside the iron tower with a whisper in the right ear. Best to toady to them, look out for them, and to put up with their obnoxious ways. By the fire, near to the supposed necromancer, was the decadent Bretonian poet Armand Lefebvre, son of the famous admiral and heir to the Lefebvre fortune. He sat alone, drinking absinthe, his eyes fixed at some point in the mid-distance, a slight trickle of drool leaking from the corner of his mouth. Every night at midnight, he would lurch to his feet and announce that the end of the world was coming. Then two hooded and cloaked servants would enter and carry him to his waiting palanquin, and then home to compose one of his blasphemous poems. Felix shuddered, for there was something about the young man which reminded him of Manfred von Diehl, another sinister writer of Felix's acquaintance, and one which he would rather forget. As well as the exotic and the debauched, there were the usual raucous youths from the student fraternities, who had come here to the roughest part of town to prove their manhood to themselves and to their friends. They were always the worst troublemakers, spoiled rich young men who had to show how tough they were for all to see. They hunted in packs and were as capable of drunken viciousness as the lowest dockside cutthroat. Maybe they were worse, for they considered themselves above the law and their victims less than vermin. From where he stood, Felix could see a bunch of jaded young dandies tugging at the dress of a struggling serving wench. They were demanding a kiss. The girl, a pretty newcomer called Elissa, fresh from the country and unused to this sort of behaviour, was resisting hard. Her struggles just seemed to encourage the rowdies. Two of them had got to their feet and began to drag the struggling girl towards the alcoves. One had clamped a hand over her mouth so that her shrieks would not be heard. Another brandished a huge blutwurst sausage obscenely. Felix moved to interpose himself between the young men and the alcoves. "No need for that," he said quietly. The older of the two youths grinned nastily. Before speaking, he took a huge bite of the blutwurst and swallowed it. His face was flushed and sweat glistened on his brow and cheeks.
"She's a feisty wench. Maybe she'd enjoy a taste of prime Nuln sausage."
The dandies laughed uproariously at this fine jest. Encouraged, he waved the sausage in the air, like a general rallying his troops.
"I don't think so," Felix said, trying hard to keep his temper. He hated these spoiled young aristocrats with a passion, had done ever since his time at the University of Altdorf, where he had been surrounded by their sort.
"Our friend here thinks he's tough, Dieter,"
said the younger of the two, a crop-headed giant larger than Felix. He sported the scarred face of a student duelist, one who fought to gain scars and so enhance his prestige. Felix looked around for some help. The other bouncers were trying to calm down a brawl between the Kislevites and the Halberdiers. Felix could see Gottschalk's crest of dyed hair rising above the scrum. No help from that quarter, then. Felix shrugged. Better make the best of a bad situation, he thought. He looked straight into the duelist's eye. "Just let the girl be," he said with exaggerated mildness. Then some devil lurking at the back of his mind prompted him to add, "And I promise not to hurt you."
"You promise not to hurt us?"
The duelist seemed a little confused. Felix could see that he was trying to work out whether this lowly bouncer could possibly be mocking him. The student's friends were starting to gather around, keen to start some trouble.
"I think we should teach this scumbag a lesson, Rupert," Dieter said. "I think we should show him he's not as tough as he thinks he is."
Alyssa chose this moment to bite Dieter's hand. He shrieked with pain and cuffed the girl almost casually. Alyssa dropped as if pole-axed.
"Bitch took a chunk out of my hand!"
Suddenly, Felix had just plain had enough. He had travelled hundreds of leagues, fought against beasts, monsters and men. He had seen the dead rise from their graves and slain evil cultists on Geheimnisnacht. He had killed the city of Nuln's own chief of secret police for being in league with the wretched Skaven. He didn't have to take cheek from these spoiled whelps, and he certainly didn't need to watch them beat up an innocent girl. Felix grabbed Rupert by the lapels and swung his forehead forward, butting the duelist on the nose. There was a sickening crunch, and the big youth toppled backward, clutching his face. Felix grabbed Dieter by the throat and slapped him a couple of times just for show, then slammed the student's face into the heavy tabletop. There was another crunch. Steins toppled. The spectators pushed their chairs backwards to avoid being soaked. Felix kicked Dieter's legs out from under him, and then, after he hit the ground, kicked him in the head a couple of times. There was nothing pretty or elegant about it, but Felix was not in the mood to put up with these people any more. Suddenly they sickened him, and he was glad of the chance to vent his anger. As Dieter's friends surged forward, Felix ripped his sword from its scabbard. The razor-sharp blade glittered in the torchlight. The angry students froze as if they had heard the hissing of a deadly serpent. Suddenly, it was all deathly quiet. Felix put the blade down against the side of Dieter's head.
"One more step, and I'll take his ear off. Then I'll make the rest of you eat it."
"He means it,"
one of the students muttered. Suddenly they did not look so very threatening any more, just a scared and drunken bunch of young idiots who had bought into much more trouble than they had bargained for. Felix twisted the blade so that it bit into Dieter's ear, drawing blood. The young man groaned and squirmed under Felix's boot. Rupert whimpered and clutched his nose with one meaty hand. A river of red streamed over his fingers.
"You broke my gold,"
he said in a tone of piteous accusation. He sounded like he couldn't believe anyone would do anything so horribly cruel. "One more word out of you and I'll break your fingers too," Felix said. He hoped nobody tried to work out how he was going to do that. He wasn't quite sure himself, but he needn't have worried. Everybody took him absolutely seriously. "The rest of you pick your friends up and get out of here, before I really lose my temper." He stepped away from Dieter's recumbent form, keeping his blade between himself and the students. They hurried forward, helped their injured friends to their feet, and hurried towards the door. A few kept terrified eyes on Felix as they went. He walked over to Alyssa and helped her to her feet.
"You all right?"
he asked.
"Fine enough, thanks,"
she said. She looked up at him gratefully. Not for the first time, Felix noticed how pretty she was. She smiled up at him. Her tight black ringlets framed her round face. Her lips pouted. He reached down and tucked one of her jet-black curls behind her ear.
"Best go and have a word with Heinz. Tell him what happened."
The girl hurried off.
"You're learning, Manling,"
the troll slayer's voice said from behind him. Felix looked around and was surprised to see Gotrek grinning malevolently up at him.
"I suppose so,"
he said. Although right at this moment he felt a little shaky. It was time for a drink. Gracia Thankwell perched on the three-legged bone stool in front of the fire squeaker and bit his tail. He was angry as he could ever remember being. He doubted he had been so angry even on the day he had made his first kill, and then he had been very, very angry indeed. He dug his canines into his tail until the sensation made his pink eyes water. Then he let go. He was sick of inflicting pain on himself. He felt like making someone else suffer.
"Hurry fast! Scuttle quick, or I will the flesh flee from your most unworthy bounds!"
he shrieked, lashing out with the whip he carried for just such occasions as this. The Skaven slaves squeaked in dismay and scuttled faster on the lurching treadmill attached to the huge mechanisms of the fire squeaker. As they did so, the power globes began to glow slightly. Their flickering light illumined the long, musty chamber. The shadows of the warp engineers of Clan Scryer danced across the walls as they made adjustments to the delicate machine by banging it lightly with sledgehammers. A faint tang of warpstone and ozone became perceptible in the air.
"Quick, quick, or I will feed you to the rat ogres!"
A chance would be a fine thing, Thankwell thought. If only he had a rat ogre to feed these slaves to. What a disappointment Bone Ripper had proved to be. That cursed dwarf had slain him as easily as Thankwell would slaughter a blind puppy. Just the thought of that hairless dwarf, upstart, made Thankwell want to squirt the musk of fear. At the same time, hatred bit at Thankwell's bowels and stayed there, gnawing as fiercely as a newly born runt chomping on a bone. By the horned rat's fetid breath, he wanted revenge on the troll slayer and his henchmen. Not only had they slain Bone Ripper and cost Thankwell a lot of precious warp tokens, they had also killed von Hallstatt, and thus disrupted the Grey Seer's master plan for throwing Nuln and the Empire into chaos. True, Thankwell had other agents on the surface, but none so highly placed or so malleable as the former head of Nuln's secret police. Thankwell wasn't looking forward to reporting the failure of this part of the scheme to his masters back in Skavenblight. In fact, he had put off making his report for as long as he decently could. Now he had no option but to talk to the Seer Lord and report how things stood. Warily, he looked up at the huge mirror on top of the far squeaker, as he waited for a vision of his master to take form. The Skaven slaves scuttled faster now. The light in the warp globes became brighter. Thankwell felt his fur lift and a shiver run down his spine to the tip of his tail, as sparks leapt from the globes at either end of the treadmill, flickering upwards towards the huge mirror at the top of the apparatus. One of the warp engineers rushed over to the control panel and wrenched down two massive copper switches. Forked lightning flickered between the warp globes. The viewing mirror began to glow with a greenish light. Little flywheels began to buzz. Huge pistons rose and fell impressively. Briefly, Thankwell felt a surge of pride at this awesome triumph of Skaven engineering, a device which made communication over all the long leagues between Nuln and Skavenblight not only possible, but instantaneous. Truly, no other race could match the inventive genius of the Skaven. This machine was just one more proof, if any was needed, of Skaven's superiority to all other so-called sentient races. The Skaven deserved to rule the world, which was doubtless why the horned rat had given it into their keeping. A picture took shape in the mirror. A towering figure glared down at him. Thankwell shivered again, this time with uncontrollable fear. He knew he was looking on the features of one of the Council of 13 in distant Skavenblight. In truth, he could not tell which, since the picture was a little fuzzy. Maybe it was not even Seer Lord Tisqueak. Swirls and patterns of interference danced across the mirror's shimmering surface. Perhaps Thankwell should suggest that the engineers of Clan Scryer make a few adjustments to their device. Now, however, hardly seemed the time.
What have to report, Seer?
The majestic voice of the council member emerged from the machine's squeaking trumpet as a high-pitched buzzing. Thankwell had to strain to make out the words. With his outstretched paw, he snatched up the mouthpiece, carved from human thigh bone and connected to the machine by a cable of purest copper. He struggled hard to avoid gabbling his words.
Great triumphs, Lordly One, and some minor setbacks,
Thankwell squeaked. His musk glands felt tight. He fought to keep from baring his teeth nervously.
Speak up. Great. Hardly hit you.
Thankwell decided there were definitely a few problems with the far-squeaking machine. Many of the Seer Lord's words were being lost, and doubtless his superior was only catching a few of Thankwell's own words in return. Perhaps, thought the Grey Seer, this could be made to work to his advantage. He must consider his options.
Many triumphs, Lordly One, and a few minor setbacks,
Thankwell bellowed as loudly as he could. His roaring startled the slaves, and they stopped running. As the treadmill slowed, the picture started to flicker and fade. The long tongues of lightning dimmed.
Faster, you fools, don't stop!
Thankwell encouraged the slaves with a flick of his lash. Slowly, the picture returned, until the dim outline of the gigantic Skaven Lord was visible once more. A cloud of foul-smelling smoke was starting to emerge from the far squeaker. It smelled like something within the machine was burning. Two warp engineers stood by with buckets of foul water drawn directly from the nearby sewers.
Setbacks, Greg. Pagqual?
If ever there was time for the machine's slight irregularities to prove useful, now was that time, thought Thankwell.
Yes, Master. Many triumphs. Even as we speak, a warrior scout beneath the Mad City. Soon we will have all information we need for our inevitable triumph. I said... Setbacks. See you, Thankwell. It would not wise be to send them back, Great One. We need every able-bodied Skaven warrior to map the city.
The councillor leaned forward and fiddled with a knob. The picture flickered and became slightly clearer. Thankwell could now see that the speaker's head was obscured by a great cowl which hid his features. The members of the Council of 13 often did that. It made them seem more mysterious and threatening. Thankwell could see that he was turning and saying something to someone just out of sight. The Grey Seer assumed his superior was berating one of the engineers of Clan Scryer.
And how is Agent von Hallstatt? Indisposed,
Thankwell replied, a little too hastily for his own liking. Somehow it sounded better than saying he was dead. He decided to change the subject quickly. He knew that he had better do something to save the situation, and fast. No matter how cunningly he stalled his masters on the Farsqueaker, he knew that word of Fritz von Hallstatt's death would get back to them eventually. Every Skaven force was full of spies and snitches. It was only a matter of time before the news of his scheme's failure reached Skavenblight. By then, Thankwell knew he had better have some concrete successes to report.
We have news... change of plans. Send army to Null. When ready. Attack city.
The Seer Lord's words made Thankwell's ears rise with pleasure. If an army was being dispatched to Nuln, he would command it. Taking the city would increase his status immeasurably.
Warlord Vermek Scab will command. Render him all civil assistance.
Thankwell bared his teeth with disappointment. He was being replaced in command of this army. He sniffed as he considered the matter. Maybe not. Vermek Scab might have an accident. Then Greyseer Thankwell could rise majestically to claim his full and rightful share of the glory. Thankwell's nose twitched. The billowing cloud of smoke from the machine almost filled the chamber now, and Thankwell was pretty sure that the device was not supposed to be emitting great showers of sparks like that. The fact that two of the warp engineers were running for the door wasn't a good sign either. He considered following them.
I have foreseen the presence. Ill-omened elements in your future that predict disaster for you unless do something about them.
Suddenly Thankwell was rooted to the spot, torn between his desire to flee and his desire to hear more. He almost squirted the musk of fear. If the Seer Lord prophesied something, then it had almost as good as happened. Unless, of course, his superior was lying to him for purposes of his own. That happened all too often, as Thankwell knew only too well.
Disaster, Lordly One. Yes. See, a dwarf and a human. Destinies are intertwined with yours. You do not slate them, then.
There was a very loud and final bang. Thankwell threw himself off his stool and cowered on the floor. An acrid taste filled his mouth. Slowly the smoke cleared, and he saw the fused and melted remains of the Farsqueaking machine. Several dead Skaven slaves lay in its midst, their fur all charred and their whiskers burned away. In one corner, a warp engineer lay curled up in a ball, mewling and writhing in a state of shock. Thankwell was unconcerned about their fate. The Seer Lord's words filled him with a great fear. He wished he had been able to speak with his superior a little longer, but alas, he had not that option. He raised his little bronze bell and tinkled it. Slowly members of his bodyguard entered the chamber. Claw Leader Gazat looked almost disappointed to see him alive, Thankwell thought. Briefly, the idea that the warrior might have sabotaged the Farsqueaker crossed Thankwell's mind. He dismissed it. Gazat did not have the imagination. Anyway, the Grey Seer had more important things to worry about.
So are the gutter runners.
Thankwell squeaked in his most authoritative tone.
I have work for them.
For a moment, silence fell over the chamber. A foul smell made Thankwell's whiskers twitch. Just the mere mention of the dreaded assassins of Clan Eshin had caused Claw Leader Gazat to squirt the musk of fear.
Quick, quick!
Thankwell added.
Instantly, master,
Gazat said sadly, and scuttled off into the labyrinth of sewers. Thankwell rubbed his paws in glee. The gutter runners would not fail. Of that he was assured. Felix unlocked the door of his chamber and entered his room. He yawned widely. He wanted for nothing more than to lie down on his pallet and sleep. He had been working for more than 12 hours. He put the lantern down beside the straw-filled mattress and unlaced his jerkin. He tried to give his surroundings as little attention as was possible, but it was difficult to ignore the loud moans of passion coming from the next room and the singing of the drinkers downstairs. The chamber wasn't good enough for paying guests, but it suited him well enough. He had occupied better, but this one had the great virtue of being free. It came with the job. Like a minority of old Heinz's staff, Felix chose to live on the premises. Felix's little pile of possessions stood in one corner, under the barred window. There was his chainmail jerkin and a little rucksack which contained a few odds and ends, such as his fire-making kit. Felix threw himself down on the bed and pulled his old, tattered woolen cloak over himself. He made sure his sword was within easy reach. His hard life on the road had made him wary, even in seemingly safe places, and the thought that the Skaven they had recently encountered might still be about filled him with dread. He recalled only too well the huge corpse of the slain rat ogre lying at the foot of the stairs in von Hallstatt's mansion. It had not been a reassuring sight. Somehow, he was unsurprised that he had heard nothing at all about the fire at von Hallstatt's mansion. Perhaps the authorities had not found the Skaven bodies, or perhaps there was a cover-up. Right now, Felix didn't even want to consider it. Felix wondered how men could ignore the tales of the Skaven. Even as a student, he had come across scholarly tomes proving that they didn't exist, or that if they had ever existed, they were now extinct. He had come across a few references to them in connection with the Great Plague of 1111, and, of course, the emperor of that period was known as Mandred Skavenslayer. Yet that was all. There were innumerable books written about elves and dwarfs and orcs, yet knowledge of the ratmen was rare. He could almost have suspected an organized conspiracy to cloak them in secrecy, but that thought was too disturbing, so he pushed it aside. There was a soft knock at the door. Felix lay still and tried to ignore it. Probably just one of the drunken patrons lost and looking for his room again, he told himself. The knock came again, more urgently and insistently this time. Felix rose from the bed and snatched up his sword. A man could never be too careful in these dark times. Perhaps some bravo lurked out there and thought a sleep-fuddled Felix would prove easy prey. Only 2 months ago, Heinz had found a murdered couple lying on blood-stained sheets a mere 3 doors away. The man had been a prominent wine merchant, the girl his teenage mistress. Heinz suspected that the merchant had been slain by assassins on order of his harridan of a wife, but claimed also that it was none of his business. Felix had got his new tunic all covered in blood when he dumped the bodies in the river. He hadn't been too thrilled about having to use the secret route through the sewers, either. The knocking came a third time, and he heard a woman's voice whisper,
"Felix?"
Felix eased his blade from its scabbard. Just because he heard a girl's voice didn't mean that there was only a girl waiting for him out there. She might have brought a few burly friends who would set about him as soon as he opened the door. Briefly, he considered not opening the door at all, or simply waiting until the girl and her friends tried to batter the door down. Then he realized quite how paranoid he had become. He shrugged. Since the deaths of Hef and Spider and the rest of the sewer watch, he had every reason to be paranoid. Still, was he going to wait here all night? He slipped the bolts and opened the door. Alyssa was waiting there. She looked up at him nervously, brushing a curl from her forehead. She was very short, but really very pretty indeed, Felix decided.
I wanted to thank you for helping me earlier, she said eventually.
Felix thought that it was a bit late for that. Couldn't she have waited until the morning? Slowly, though, realization dawned on him.
It was nothing,
he muttered, feeling his face flush. Alyssa glanced quickly left and right down the corridor.
Aren't you going to invite me in? I wanted to thank you properly.
She had to stand on her tiptoes to kiss his lips. He stood there dumbfounded for a second, then pulled her into the room and slammed the door, slipping the lock into place. As his henchling Queg reached 12 in his muttered count, Chang Squick of Clan Eshin twitched his nose and sampled the smells of the night. Strange, he thought. So like the stinks of the man-cities of Far Cathay, and yet so unlike. Here he could smell beef and turnip and roast pig. In the east, it would have been pickled cabbage and rice and chicken. The food smelled different, but everything else was the same. There was the same scent of overflowing sewers, of many humans living in close proximity, of incense and perfume. He opened his ears as his master had trained him as well. He heard temple bells tolling and the rattle of carriage wheels on cobbles. He heard the singing of drunks and the call of the night watchman as they shouted the hour. It did not trouble him. He could not be distracted. He could, if he so wished, tune out all extraneous sound and pick out one voice in a crowd. The Skaven squinted out into the darkness. His night vision was keen. Down there were the shadowy shapes of men and women leaving the taverns arm in arm, heading for brief liaisons in back alleys and squalid rooming houses. Chang did not care about them at all. His two targets were in the building that humans called a tavern. He did not know why the Honourable Grey Seer had selected these two, out of all the inferior souls in this city, for inevitable death. He merely knew it was his task to ease the passing of their souls into the maw of the Horned Rat. He had already offered up two sticks of narcotic incense and pledged their immortal essence for his Dark God's feast. He could almost, but not quite, feel sorry for the doomed ones. They were there in that tavern, under the sign of the Blind Pig, and they did not know that certain doom approached. Nor would they, for Chang Squick had trained for years in the delivery of silent death. Long before he had left the warm jungles of his eastern homeland to serve the Council of 13 in these cold western climes, he had been schooled to perfection in his clan's ancient art of stealthy assassination. While still a runt, he had been made to run bare-pawed through beds of white-hot coals and snatch coins from the bowls of blind beggars in human cities. Even at that early age, he had learned that the beggars were often far from blind and often viciously proficient in the martial arts. By the time of his initiation, he had become proficient in all forms of unarmed combat. He was a third-degree adept in the way of the Crimson Talon, and held a black belt in the path of the Deadly Paw. He had spent 12 long months being trained in silent infiltration in the jungles, and a month in fasting and meditation high atop Mount Yellowfang, with only his own droppings for food. Since that time, he had killed and killed again in the name of the Council of 13. He had slain Lord Kijor of Clan Kulcha, when that mighty warlord had plotted the downfall of Throt the Unclean. He had served as personal assistant to Snikch when the great assassin had killed Frederick Hasselhoffen and his entire household, and he had been rewarded with one-on-one instruction by the Death Master himself. Chang Quick's list of triumphs was long, and tonight he would add another to it. It was his task to slay the dwarf, Gotrick Gurnison, and his human henchling, Felix Jaeger. He did not see how he could fail. What chance had a one-eyed dwarf and his stupid human friend against a mighty Skaven trained in every art of death-dealing? Chang Squick felt confident that he could take the pair himself. He had been almost insulted by Grey Seer Thankwall's insistence that he take his full pack of gutter runners. Surely the dire rumours of this dwarf were exaggerated. The Troll Slayer could not possibly have slaughtered a unit of storm vermin single-handed. and it seemed well-nigh unbelievable that he could have slain the Rat Ogre Bone Ripper without the aid of an entire company of mercenaries. And, of course, it was impossible that this could be the same dwarf who 5 years ago had slain Warlord Macrick of Clan Cowgia at the Battle of the Third Door. Chang exhaled in one long, controlled breath. Perhaps the Grey Seer was right. He had often proved to be so in the past. It was simple prudence to assign the task of slaying the dwarf to Slither. Chang would slay the human, and if there were any difficulties, he would race to the assistance of his henchling squad. Not that there would be any difficulties. Quegg stopped counting at 100 and tapped his superior on the arm. Chang lashed his tail once to show that he understood. Slither and his team, with the clockwork precision which characterized all Skaven operations, would be in position at the secret entrance to the tavern by now. It was time to proceed. He loosened his swords in their scabbards, checked to make sure that his blowpipe and throwing stars were ready at paw, and whistled the signal to advance. Like a dark wave, the pack of gutter runners surged forward over the rooftop. Their blackened weapons were visible only as shadowy outlines in the moon's light. Not a weapon clinked. Not an outline was visible. Well, almost. Hines made his last rounds of the night, checking the doors and windows of the lower floor to make sure they were securely barred. It was amazing how often thieves tried to break into the Blind Pig and steal from its cellars. Not even the reputation for ferocity of Hines's bouncers could keep the desperately poor and alcoholic denizens of the new quarter from making the attempt. It was quite pathetic, really. He made his way down into the cellars, shining his light into the dark corners between the great ale barrels and wine racks. He could have sworn he heard a strange scuttling noise down here. Just his imagination, he told himself. He was getting old, starting to hear things. Even so, he went over and checked the secret door that led down into the sewers. It was hard to tell in this light, but it looked undisturbed. He doubted anybody had used it since he and Felix had dumped those bodies 2 months back and saved everybody quite a scandal. Yes, he was just getting old, that was all. He turned and limped back to the stairwell. His bad leg was playing up tonight. It always did when there was going to be rain. Hines smiled grimly, remembering how he'd got the old war wound. It had been stamped on by a Bretonian charger at the Battle of Red Orc Pass. Clean break. He remembered lying there in the bloody dirt and thinking it was probably a just payback for spiking the horse's owner on his halberd. That had been a bad time, one of the worst he had faced in all his years of soldiering. He'd learned a lot about pain that day. Still, there had been good times as well as bad during his career as a mercenary. He was forced to admit that. There were occasions when Hines wondered whether he had made the right decision, giving up the free-spirited life of the mercenary companies for the life of a tavern keeper. On nights like this, he missed the camaraderie of his old unit, the drinking round the campfires, the swapping of stories and recounting of tales of heroism. Hines had spent 10 years as a halberdier and had seen service on half the battlefields of the Empire, first as a lowly trooper and later as a sergeant. He had risen to captain during Emperor Karl Franz's campaigns against the Orc hordes in the east. During the last Bretonian scrap, he had made enough in plunder to buy the Blind Pig. He had finally given in to old Lottie's promptings to settle down and make a life for the two of them. His old comrades had laughed when he had actually married a camp follower. They had insisted she would run off with all his money. Instead, the two of them had been blissfully happy for 5 years, before old Lottie had to spoil it all by going and dying of the wasting sickness. He still missed her. He wondered if there was anything to stay here in Nuln for now. His family were all dead. Lottie was gone. As he reached the head of the stair, Hines thought he heard the scuttling sound again. There was definitely something moving down there. Briefly, he considered calling Gotrek or some of the other lads and getting them to investigate. Then he spread his huge hands wide in a gesture of disgust. He really was getting old if he would let the noise of some rats scrabbling around in his cellar upset him. He could just imagine what the others would say if he told them he was scared to go down there himself. They would laugh like drains. He drew the thick cosh from his waistband and turned to go back down. Now he really was uneasy. He would never have drawn the weapon normally. He was too calm and easy-tempered. Something definitely did have him spooked. His old soldier's instincts were aroused, and they had saved him on more than one occasion. He could still remember that night along the Kislevite border, when he had somehow been unable to get to sleep, filled with a terrible sense of foreboding. He had risen from his bed and gone to replace the sentry, only to find the man dead at his post. He had only just roused the camp before the foul beastmen attacked. He had a similar feeling in the pit of his stomach now. He hesitated at the top of the stair. Best go get Gotrek, he thought. Only the real hardcore drinkers were still in the tavern by now. The rest were asleep under the tables, in the alcoves, in the private rooms, or else gone home.
There it was again. That skittering sound, like the soft scrabble of padded claws on the stone stairs.
Heinz was definitely worried now. He pulled the door closed and turned, almost running down the corridor until he came out in the main bar area. A handful of the bouncers chattered idly with a few of the barmaids.
"Where's Gotrek?" Heinz asked.
A burly lad, Helmut, jerked his thumb in the direction of the privies. Slither reached the head of the staircase and flung the door open. So far, so good. All was going like a typically well-oiled clan scryer machine. Everything according to plan. They had entered the tavern undetected. Now it was simply a case of searching the place until they came upon the dwarf and killed him. And furthermore, killed anything else that got in their way, of course. Slither felt a little irritated. It was typical of his superior to take the easy task. They had already found out where the human Jaeger slept, and their leader had taken the task of killing him for himself. Surely that was the only explanation. It could not be that the great Chang Squick was afraid of an encounter with the Troll Slayer. Not that Slither cared. When he dispatched the feared dwarf, it would simply reflect all the more to his credit. He gestured for his fellows to go in first.
"Quick, quick," he chittered. "All night we haven't got."
The gutter runners moved quickly into the corridor. Felix and Alyssa lay on his pallet, kissing deeply, when suddenly Felix shifted uneasily. He thought he heard the faintest of scrabbling sounds from outside the window. He gently untangled Alyssa's arms from around him and was suddenly aware of the area of heat and sweat where their bodies met. He looked down on the serving girl's face. Her face was a little puffed on the left side from where the student had hit her, but she really was very pretty.
"What is it?"
she asked, looking up at him with wide, trusting eyes. He listened for a moment and heard nothing.
"Nothing,"
he said, and began kissing her again. Slither bounded down the corridor. He smelled dwarf. He followed the scent, whistling commands to his fellows in the fore. Surprised by Skaven's stealth, speed, and savagery, their weak foe would swiftly be dragged down. What chance would a mere dwarf have against the deadliest warriors of the Master Race? Slither almost felt sorry that he was in the rear, the traditional position of honour any Skaven leader adopted whenever possible. He would have liked a chance to be the first to sink his blade into the dwarf and offer up his soul to the horned rat. They reached the end of the corridor. The stench of dwarf intensified. He must be very close now. Slither's heart rate accelerated dramatically. Blood raced through his veins, his tail stiffened and lashed, the claws in his feet extruded instinctively. As he made ready for combat, he bared his fangs in a snarl. The scent was very strong. They must be almost on top of the Troll Slayer. His warriors lashed their tails proudly, ready to overwhelm their opponents with their numbers and savagery. Suddenly, a red mist filled Slither's eyes. It looked as if a huge axe had cut Klissqueak in half, but that could not be. They could not have been detected. It was impossible that a mere dwarf would have the cunning to ambush a pack of Skaven gutter runners. Yet suddenly, Rishak was squeaking in pain and terror. A huge fist had caught him by the throat. The butt of a monstrous axe cracked his skull. The thick, cloying scent of the musk of fear filled the air now. Klissqueak's body had already started to dissolve into a puddle of black slime as the Clan Eshin decomposition spells took effect. Slither looked out into a swirling melee where half a dozen of his finest gutter runners were attempting to swarm over a massive dwarfish form. His pale, hairless flesh was emphasized by the black of the Skaven's cloaks. Slither saw the huge axe swing around in a deadly arc. He heard bones crunch and brains splatter.
"Try and sneak upon me, would you?"
muttered the dwarf in Reichspiel. He added a guttural curse in dwarfish as he clove a path of red ruin through the Skaven assassins. The dwarf bellowed and chanted a strange war cry as he fought. Slither shuddered. The noise was enough to awaken the dead, or at least any sleeping human guards. He felt the advantage of stealth and surprise slipping away. His eyes widened with terror as he watched the dwarf complete his bloody work, cutting down Snicket and Blodge with one stroke. Suddenly, Slither realized that he was alone, facing one very angry and very dangerous dwarf. It was impossible to believe, but the dwarf had killed most of his brethren in a matter of seconds. Nothing in all the world, not even an assassin of Clan Eshin, could conceivably be so deadly. Slither turned to flee, but a hobnailed boot descended on his tail, pinning him in place. Tears of pain filled Slither's eyes. The musk of fear voided from his glands. The last thing he heard was the whoosh of a huge axe coming closer. Despite himself, Felix untangled himself from Alyssa again and looked around. What was that noise? It sounded like fighting downstairs. He was sure he could recognize Gotrek's deep-throated battle cry. The girl was looking up at him, puzzled, wondering why he had stopped kissing her. She opened her mouth to speak. Felix placed a hand gently over her lips. He leaned forward until his mouth was over her ear.
"Be very quiet," he whispered.
A cold trickle of fear ran through him. He could definitely hear a strange scrabbling sound coming from over by the window. Felix lifted himself off the recumbent girl and reached for his dragon-hilted sword. He slipped backwards off the straw pallet and fell into a half-crouch. Placing one finger against his lips to indicate she should be quiet, he gestured for the woman to get up off the bed. She stared at him uncertainly, then followed his gaze over to the window. That was when she screamed. Chang Squick watched as Noy swung down on the rope. He felt almost proud of his pupil. Noy had fixed the grapnel in the guttering perfectly, then abseiled down the side of the tavern like a great spider. He had sprayed the metal bars covering the window with acid, then filed through the weakened iron like a master burglar. He reached up and gestured to the rest of the squad on the tavern roof. They fixed their ropes in position and made ready to follow Noy. Chang would be last in, as befitted the glorious strike leader. Noy kicked himself back from the wall, swinging out into space, gaining momentum to crash through the window. The window caved in, and a black-clad Skaven crashed through it. It hit the floor, rolling, and emerged into a fighting crouch, tail lashing, a long curved blade glinting evilly in each claw. Felix didn't wait for it to get time to orientate itself. He lashed forward with his own blade, almost catching the thing by surprise. Sparks flashed as the creature parried, deflecting Felix's blade so that it only seared along its cheek. "Run, Elissa!" Felix shouted. "Get out!" For a moment he thought the girl was too shocked to move. She lay on the straw pallet, her eyes wide with horror. Then suddenly she sprang up. The distraction almost killed Felix. The moment he took to look at her was a moment he did not look at his opponent. Only the deadly whine of the Skaven's blade as it darted towards his skull warned him. He ducked his head and the sword passed over him, coming close enough to shave a lock off his hair. Felix lashed back instinctively. The Skaven sprang away.
"Felix!"
Alyssa shouted.
"Run! Get help!"
Over the Skaven's shoulder, he could see other feral forms crowding round the window. They seemed to be struggling to force a way in, each getting in the other's way. The window was packed with mangy, scarred Skaven faces. Things did not look good.
"Die! Die! Foolish mad thing!"
the Skaven chittered, bounding forward. It feinted a stroke with its right blade, then lashed out with its left. Felix caught its hand just above the wrist and immobilised it. The thing's tail snaked obscenely round his leg and tried to trip him. Felix brought the pommel of his sword down behind the Skaven's ear. It fell forward, but even as it did so, it struck with its blade, forcing Felix to jump away. He bounded back across the room and skewered the Skaven as it started to rise.
Blood frothed from the foul thing's lips as it died. A strange reeking stink filled the air. The Skaven's flesh started to bubble and rot. Felix heard Alyssa throw the door bolts. He risked a glance at her. She had turned and was looking at him in a mixture of horror and confusion, as if she did not know whether to leave him or to stay.
Go!
He shouted.
Get help! There's nothing you can do here!
She vanished through the doorway, leaving Felix feeling obscurely relieved. At least now he wasn't responsible for her safety. As he turned to look back, he saw that the Skaven he had killed was gone. It had left behind only a pool of black slime and its rotting clothing. Felix wondered what deadly sorcery was at work. A hiss of displaced air warned him of another threat. From the corner of his eye, he caught sight of several glittering objects hurtling towards him. He dived forward, aiming for the bed, hoping it would break his fall. His mouth filled with straw from the mattress as he landed. He fumbled with his left hand for his old red cloak and pulled its wadded mass up in his left fist. He was just in time. More shining objects spun through the air towards him. He brought the cloak up and they impacted in the roll of thick wool. Something sharp penetrated the cloth just between his fingers. Felix looked down. He saw a throwing star, smeared with some foul reddish substance, doubtless poison. Two more Skaven had extricated themselves from the mass outside the window and dropped into the room. They scuttled towards him with eye-blinding speed, evil shadows of man-sized rats, their yellow fangs glistening in the lantern light. He knew better now than to even glance at the doorway. There was no way he could reach it without taking a blade in his back.
"Why me?" he asked himself. "Why am I standing here, half-naked and alone, facing a pack of Skaven assassins? Why do these things always happen to me? This sort of thing never happened to Sigmar in the legends."
He threw the cloak over the head of the oncoming Skaven. It writhed in the tangle of woolen folds. Felix ran his blade through it. His razor-sharp sword cut through flesh like butter. Black blood soiled the garment. Felix struggled to pull the blade free. The second rat thing took advantage of his preoccupation and sprang forward, both blades held high, swinging downwards like butcher's cleavers. Felix threw himself backwards. The blade came free with an awful sucking sound. He landed flat on his back, his sword clutched in his hand. He raised its point, and the flying Skaven impaled itself on it. As it fell, its weight pulled the blade free from Felix's grasp.
Damn,
he thought, rising to his feet. Weaponless. The point of his blade was visible, protruding from the Skaven's back. He was reluctant to touch the foul beast with his naked flesh, but he had no choice if he wanted the blade. His cloak was already starting to flatten as the Skaven decomposed with terrifying rapidity. Too late. More Skaven leapt in through the window. There was no time for any qualms. He picked up the Skaven sword and charged. The sheer fury of his rush took the Skaven by surprise. He cleaved one skull before it could react and disemboweled another with his return stroke. It fell, trying to hold in its ropey guts with one claw, even as it attempted to strike Felix with the other. Felix hacked at it again, severing the limb. He cut around him in blind fury, feeling the terrible shock of impact run up his arm